How do we pay for global debt after COVID-19?
Hello and welcome to the Mark and Pete Show. The coronavirus pandemic could cost the global economy a staggering $8.8 trillion. Yes, and that's just an economic prediction. Now, that's more than double last month's prediction that equates to nearly 10% of the world's economic output, a staggering sum. Now, of course, many people believe that the COVID-19 situation is going to continue to paralyze the economic activity everywhere. What on earth do people do? Businesses are still struggling to access government-backed loans. Some of the people can't pay their bills. In fact, what they're doing is they're just turning to the never, never. Never in our lives have we had less money in our pocket. Never in the field of conflict will all debts continue to skyrocket. Never has the economy needed rewiring like an exploded electrical socket. Never has manufacturing been so broken that the gears have lost their sprocket. Never bemoan the situation because the government is paying, so just don't knock it. Yes, Clergyman Pete, well, turning to the government, it seems like a bottomless pit. But who is actually really going to pay back all this debt?
Yes, well, who indeed? I mean, this debt is pretty much worldwide. We have questions about China, which we'll come back to later. But the debt that has been, the debt level that has been rising because of closing down of economies due to this COVID-19 pandemic is getting really big, getting out of hand. And there doesn't seem to be any consensus getting any closer amongst countries across the world how to cope with it. I guess you could say it's bad in Britain and America and in Europe, but for developing countries, it's even worse, of course. I mean, they were already in debt. And there is no sign, there's been no announcement, oh, yes, we're going to forgive the debt or we're going to restructure it or whatever for these developing countries. So they must be in panic mode right now about what's going to happen to them. And it's serious for us in the West as well.
Yes. Well, it's serious on a number of levels because many people will be cogitating, well, as much as government might be gaining perhaps some money, perhaps on a rate that might be deemed to be favourable, collectively the sizeable debt is enormous, and this is going to be something that's going to take decades to pay back. Now, how do you pay it back? One of the obvious things is to try and get the economy working. Now, as we very well know, there are many people who are still thinking about, well, will the business survive? Many people are still in a lockdown. Many people are thinking about, how can I just reactivate my business? Will the staff even stay? Can I even keep all of the staff? Now, the point here is that when we think about this accumulating debt that seems to be just snowballing, you know, month by month, it just sort of makes you think, well, how do you pay it back? Well, we're going to talk about that in a lot more detail. One obvious thing to consider is about how do you just boost the economy to get it back to the levels that we once saw going from 2019 into the beginning of 2020. I do believe that one of the challenges is that, and Mark and Peter talked about this a lot, not enough investment has been in small to medium-sized businesses who really feed in to so many big organizations through the supply chain, through manufacturing, goods that happen and go through the high street, and many other things that need to sort of fuel the economy. I think that certainly corporate rate, as in business rates, need to be brought down. There is a concern, and some people have muted, that perhaps that people might be taxed more. So those people who are in work, yes, those three people in the world who've still got a job, may actually find that actually they could find that their taxes could go up. I think that that could be a mistake on a number of levels. One, I think that that's going to probably stifle spending, because what we want is people to spend. We want people not to build up the debt. We want to stay within their means. But I think certainly, putting taxes up is a wrong thing. Perhaps maybe even lowering taxes could be a good thing. Then we sort of think about what assets we've got. Now, typically when anybody thinks about, well, how do you pay a debt, maybe there are some things that we could do in terms of rethinking where we get money. Now, some people might say, we've got land, let's sell it. We've got assets, let's sell it, whether it be, real estate, as some of the US might say, or buildings. That might be one option. But that's not going to be enough. If you start to add it all up, just simply tapping the Queen on the shoulder and say, can we sell Buckingham Palace? Because that's not going to pay the debt.
No.
And she might object. Awesome. Then you never know. But the fact of the matter is that because the debt is so sizable, here's another thought. Some economists have thought, hold on, the economic impact has been so great to collectively all of these different countries, countries all over the world, incidentally, certainly in the developed countries, as we know. Why not have some kind of leveling out, meaning that is it actually ever really possible that anyone will ever be able to pay it back? Now, some people might say, well, the big economies such as, the United States, despite their debt levels, because of the engine, the economic engine that they've got behind them, once it does get back up and running over a shorter period of time, still a lengthy one, I think it would still take them, 10 years or more, could actually probably level out. But some people have often said, is it not possibly a time to sort of think about where did this all start? And some people might say, is it now possible that we should be sort of putting a large bill into China? Now, there's a lot to talk about here, but Clergyman Peter, I wanted to get your view is, what do you think that government should be doing? And let's start with tax. What's your view on that front?
Well, let's look at tax rates and just generally, not on the specific taxes, but overall taxing. I think there needs to be a tax cut. And I mean, it's not, that's my view of one of the best ways to grow the economy is to cut tax at an individual level, cutting rates of income tax, tax on purchase like VAT, and also tax on the various taxes on businesses. They need them to be cut. So I would say the reason for that is we need fast economic growth.
Yes.
So we need more trade happening. I think, and this I know that you agree with this, is the general Mark and Pete view we keep going on about, is that it's important to have goods being produced and them being sold, and exchange of goods and services. It's good. It's important to have trade happening in order to have enough money to spend, to have the good quality of life. In other words, you need to grow the economy, grow the gross domestic product. Quickly in this case, anything else that you do actually makes things worse. Like, for example, you could put taxes up in order to pay back your loans and in order to pay for, keeping companies afloat, that sort of thing. But doing that in the long term makes things worse.
Yes.
It shrinks the economy.
The one of the things that anybody who's out there, and a lot of our listeners who are small and medium-sized company owners, are saying, well, one particular worry is rent. So, for example, businesses typically, there are some exceptions where some corporate companies own the land and the assets, but rarely. Most people rent. And the worrying thing is that they're tied into long-term deals. Now, obviously, with COVID-19 coming in, they've innocently been impacted, this force majeure, an act of God coming in and completely ruining their businesses. And what's really as an issue here is that they have to go back into business. They've still got an obligation. I think that, and this is a tough one, folks, we know law is law and law should be followed. But what I would say is maybe there is something there where there has to be some mechanism to allow cash back into the business, yeah, to give them a grace period, a longer grace period. And what you could do is by law is implement some kind of grace period that is injected in a contract, meaning if you are a business and you're tied for the next 3 years to paying rent on a building, where you know that actually this could be a bit of a liability, because here you go, folks, you may never need to go back to that building because actually you might have all your workers working from home, or at least you might need to scale it back. But what you could do in the obligation is to give the grace period so that the business can recover, have enough money to pay their way, get the business running, to then in turn make an obligation where they save money to eventually pay the debt. So I'm not suggesting they don't pay landlords, folks. I know our landlords will be screaming. Yes. But the reality of the fact is that there are certain commitments that businesses will have, like salaries is the other thing. I don't think that governments can keep going on paying the furlough. Now, and what I mean by that is that this is where employees have been basically told to stop working. 80% of their salaries are paid. Now, there is, again, an aggregated amount, certainly in the United Kingdom. What they're doing is they're scaling that down so that effectively that they will pay 60%, the employer then pays 20%. Trouble is, some of those businesses can't even pay the 20%. Yeah. So we're in a situation where I think that's definitely one area that could be helped, along with corporate tax. Delay the tax element.
Yes, yes. No, I agree with that. I mean, I think what we're seeing is a need to stimulate the growth of the economy. Now, we're in that situation where if we're going to have the government pumping money in, you know, like having construction jobs by creating new projects, well, you're spending even more money. One way of getting cash into the you've spoken about some ways of doing it. I was talking about having lower taxes, but you could go even further and have a tax rebate. You know, effectively have a tax holiday. I don't mean all tax, but reduce it temporarily. So you have a massive tax rebate. Short
term. It's like a grace period, isn't it?
Yeah, really? Yes. So similar to what you were saying with regards to rent, but applying it to tax as well, having a grace period, as you say. And it's interesting, though, in terms of trying to get the economy going, the UK government, at least, has made, I know listeners will be shocked at this, I think it's made quite an intelligent call, a good decision.
Which one was that?
If you look at the detail of the change in the lockdown or regulations, there were various things we're encouraged to do as individuals, but one of the things that was freed up immediately was building. You're allowed to get on building sites, and estate agents are reopened, and of course this part of the economy, property, is part of what's often seen as the driver, or at least of growth, or at least it's at the forefront. It's the first part of the economy to grow. So they want to see that happening. Whether it actually drives it, that's open for debate. Some people say it is really a driver of the economy. It may be that it's just the first to grow, and then, of course, that gives people confidence that the economy is growing. So they've taken measures to try and get the housing market back on its feet again. But I think that's part of a series of measures that could be going in the right direction for our government.
Yes, well, indeed. Now, I did want to sort of ask another way about paying for this, because now many people will know that, and I'm going to take the United Kingdom, but there are many other projects around the world that are similar to this, but I'm going to take one, which is, of course, it was called the H2 project, which is essentially an infrastructure project, which was ironically to boost business from the south of England, particularly going into London, the conurbation of London, and through and into London and out to the provinces. Now, that was going to cost billions of dollars.
Yep.
Do you think, bearing in mind that the UK government's effort around to combat the coronavirus or the pandemic has risen at the moment, as we speak, to over £123 billion? Now, it's estimated to certainly exceed that considerably. But should certain projects be put on hold, albeit, and ironically, that they were then meant to be to boost the economy? Because I don't see how going about just piling on the debt, you know, we're not going to see the results of a H2 project for some time.
This is the HS2 project, is it?
Yes, the HS2 project, yes. Yeah. That is something that really has caused much angst, because I know that we want to build our infrastructure, as do, you know, projects in America. They're building bridges and they're building highways. Those projects, those infrastructure projects, are meant to be something which would perhaps get people working in a different way. But then it comes back to, what is the new normal? Because the idea of somebody traveling from Birmingham into, you know, maybe London may not necessarily be so necessary when somebody can work out of their home.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a mistake to... I think the HS2 line was always a mistake. I think...
In the sense of being too expensive or...
Too expensive.
Never work.
Well, being too expensive already, but the signs are that it would grow and grow and grow in cost.
Yes.
And it was doing things in the wrong order. We needed first better travel between, say, the large cities in the north, which really could do with a lot faster travel. Actually, travel from London up to the north was already pretty good. So that's not just my reading of it. I think I believe that there was a recent report delivered to the government saying that the benefits were just not great enough to go ahead with it. But now the HS2 project is just one project, of course. As you will know, Boris Johnson was looking at a bridge to Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Now, that would be a huge project over the sea there, and you would get lots and lots of jobs.
Yeah.
And... if he were to go ahead with it, he might well say, what a brave move. But
this HS2 project was meant to cost over £100 billion.
I know. And, well, it was already costed at getting it towards that. And Boris Johnson was saying £100 billion for the obvious reason that these things always grow in cost.
Of course.
Although right at the start of the show, I was saying, let's let the debt, let's recognize that there is the debt, and that it needs to. Your first temptation to just try and pay it off as being responsible with your money, you should be resisted and instead try and grow the economy. Well, that's what I think we should do. I think trying to grow the economy by having vast infrastructure projects is a mistake, though. Let it grow organically. Encourage the growth through greater trade, through new companies being launched, this sort of thing, not through government spending, because then you're just sort of playing catch up, aren't you? You're spending more.
Yes.
We're going to make back more. We're spending more. No, let's just calm down on the spending. So
okay.
I don't think that can't really achieve the economic growth that we need.
Yes.
And I don't think that, as I say, particularly with HS2, it's going to help. And as you point out, with the new way of operating, maybe we don't need to travel quite so much.
Exactly. So it's certainly, I hope, Mr. Johnson, that you're listening, because in my view, I think that that's and everyone's going to say, hold on, we've already spent a few billion. But the bottom line is, why do we need to spend hundreds of billions more when actually it could be there to either help boost the NHS, help boost the manufacturing, help boost the economy in other ways, where, in fact, the game has changed. Most businesses have now pretty much analysed the situation and recognised that they're not going to carry on doing business in exactly the same way. More remote working will definitely be on the agenda. Now, I want to talk about another point of debt. This does have a financial element to it, and it's more of a social side. And this is perhaps sort of playing a little bit more to perhaps should we say we're more akin to your area, and this is about how one thinks about people. People and their mental state. COVID-19 has hit people, yes, economically, but it's also hit people in many other ways. Obviously, people have lost family members, friends, colleagues, and many others. And what that debt means to a generation onwards from an emotional perspective. It's very difficult to quantify this, isn't it? I wanted to get your view in terms of what should be done from that side, because there is actually a financial cost. Many people have talked about mental well-being. Ironically, it was talked about quite a lot in 2019 and going into 2020. It's gone to another level now. What are your thoughts from the point of view of a religious perspective?
The issue that was in mind in the biblical idea of the Jubilee, that is a year when debts are completely written off, was not that people should be out of pocket, because you could plan for it, you know, if it were regular, but that you wouldn't have people permanently disenfranchised. So taking that in mind, in terms of people's personal debt, in terms of people's terrible problems with mental health from being locked in their bedrooms for all of eternity, if this is the new normal working from your screen, I think that there needs to be a social, an understanding socially of what the changes due to COVID-19 have meant. One is the fact that people some people may be desperate to get back to work, but some people may be fearful of it. So when you're talking about reopening the economy, you've got to do it in a way that allays people's fears. So you allow people to work at home more. You make sure that they are kept safe in the way that you have the make sure that hand washing is available. Now, I just as a brief aside, this was always part of the biblical view that you should wash your hands regularly. On entering, leaving, when you eat, and we seem to have, as a society, have got out of the habit. We knew that it was good for us, so bringing it back, have washing facilities on the way in, even of offices, is a good idea. So that's just one idea of making it safe. But in terms of making sure that people feel that they're not going to get too badly into debt, I think that we need to put something in place, a way of forgiving debt, so like an emergency helpline that you can call. What I found at a local level is that people get into debt in secret. So this is going back well before COVID-19. And if you supply a place where people can come in confidence, not necessarily secret, because sometimes you may have to report what people are doing, but privately come and talk about their debt. You can help them restructure it, help them through it, and they've been living in fear and of people finding out, and so that they haven't been able to work through their shame and actually deal with the debt. If you provide a simple route for people to look at it and to be helped, then it removes that fear and allows them sometimes to have their debts forgiven, if that's the route, more likely be restructured in their repayment of it. So that's what I think should be done. Just give some thought to the way that we reopen the economy and move forward.
Well, listeners, what do you think? What's your thoughts in terms of how countries should best solve the debt problem? We'd love to hear from you. We certainly believe that we've given you some prompters, but we want to hear from you a little bit more on this, because I think that many governments seem to be a little bit clueless as to what to do. Log on to markandpete.com and just let us know your thoughts, because this is something that is not going to go away, folks. I hope you've got your next 10 to 20 year plan, because this is something that we will probably have to live with for many, many years. Well, on that positive note, join us again next time for more colourful conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.